Hi, my name is Tony Thaxton. Like anyone else, I love a great album. But I also love those strange albums that might make you wonder how and why they even exist. But I'm not here to make fun of them. I'm here to celebrate them and tell their story. This is Bizarre Albums. Today's episode, Tim Curry, Fearless, from 1979. The London production of the rock musical Hair opened at the Shaftesbury Theatre on September 27, 1968. It was led by the same creative team as the Broadway production, which had premiered just 5 months earlier. The groundbreaking show told the story of a group of politically active long-haired hippies of the Age of Aquarius living their bohemian lifestyle in New York City and fighting against the Vietnam War draft. It was controversial due to its profanity, drug use, sexuality, nudity, and its disrespect for the American flag. The London production of Hair was the first full-time theatrical role for then 22-year-old Tim Curry. One of Curry's fellow cast members was Richard O'Brien. Now fast forward to the early 70s, and Richard O'Brien was out of work. To keep himself busy, he wrote a musical that would combine his love of B-horror movies, Steve Reeves muscle films, and 50s rock and roll. One day in London, Tim Curry spotted Richard O'Brien on the street. O'Brien told them that he'd just been to the gym trying to see if he could find a muscle man who could sing. In a 1992 syndicated newspaper article by Frank Lavis, Curry talked about this encounter, saying, quote, "I said, why do you need him to sing? And he told me that his musical was going to be done, and I should talk to Jim Sharman. He gave me the script, and I thought, boy, if this works, it's going to be a smash." End quote. The show's working title was They Came from Denton High. After O'Brien had taken the show to director Jim Sharman, the title would be eventually changed, at the suggestion of Sharman, to The Rocky Horror Show. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. The Rocky Horror Show premiered at the Royal Court's 63-seat theater upstairs on June 19, 1973. Tim Curry played the role of Dr. Frankenfurter, a diabolical mad scientist and transvestite who spoke with an upper-class accent. Here's Tim Curry talking about the role on Film Talk in 1975.
Well, we tried all kinds of things. When I first read it, I read it German. I was very like this. I was sort of Middle European and sort of... And that was a little used, I think. So then we tried it American. And it was Jim Sharman, the director's idea, to make him the sort of Belgravia hostess with the mostest. So I remembered being on a bus once when a very sort of Debbie lady in a headscarf turned to a friend... who was sitting in front of me, and he said, "Do you have a house in the town or a house in the country?" And the phrase had always stuck in my mind, and so that's the voice that I used.
I see.
It became a sort of trademark of him, really.
The Rocky Horror Show was a critical and commercial success, and by August of 1973, the show moved to the 230-seat Chelsea Classic Cinema, before moving again that November to the 500-seat Kings Road Theatre, where it would run until 1979. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Tim Curry would continue to play the role of Dr. Frankenfurter in London, New York, and L.A. until 1975. And that same year, he would make his film debut, playing the same role in The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You've seen all kinds of movies, but you've never seen anything like The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
They're probably foreigners with ways different than our own.
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
See the Rocky Horror Picture Show. A different set of jaws. Rated R.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show premiered in London on August 14, 1975, followed by a United States release 1 month later. It opened in just 8 cities and was pulled from theaters almost immediately due to very poor attendance. Despite its lack of success, it would become a cult hit a year later when New York City's Waverly Theater began showing it as a midnight movie. Audiences began showing up dressed as the characters and talking back to the screen. And around this same time, the King's Court Theater in Pittsburgh had audiences performing alongside the film, lip-syncing the characters' lines and miming the actions on screen. As of the time of this recording, nearly 47 years later, the movie is still in limited release, making it the longest-running theatrical release in film history. For the next several years, Tim Curry would appear in a few TV series and some movies here and there. He would return to Broadway in 1976, starring in the Tony Award-winning Travesties. And Curry's fame and singing experience would lead to him signing a record deal with A&M Records. And in 1978, Tim Curry would release his debut album, Read My Lips. But that's not the focus today. I normally try and cover someone's debut album first here on the show, but this record was, with the exception of 2 songs, just a covers album. I know I've done some of those before, but the follow-up seemed a little more fun to cover today, so that's what we're doing. Read My Lips includes Curry singing songs that were originally recorded by artists like Dionne Warwick, Joni Mitchell, and The Beatles.
Who knows how long I've loved you? You know I always will. If it take an only lifetime, if you ask me,
in a 1978 interview with the Thirsty Ear radio show, Curry said of the album, quote, "It must be clear from the wide range on the album that one wasn't going for a super hit, mega platinum, sock you between the eyes, gosh, this is going to be on the radio every second. It's very much an introduction and allegro," end quote. And that was the case. The album didn't make much of an impact, but he quickly got another chance. In 1979, Tim Curry would release Fearless on A&M Records.
So it was you. I was going to expose you.
I know. So I choose to expose myself.
This time around, Curry sings almost entirely original songs, even co-writing several of them. And that's the case for the album's opener, Right on the Money. That song, as well as the next song, were co-written by Curry alongside one of the album's producers, Dick Wagner. Dick Wagner first jumped onto the music scene playing in a Detroit band called The Frost, who recorded 3 albums for Vanguard Records in the late 60s and early 70s. He would move to New York in 1972 and formed a short-lived band called Ursa Major, whose original lineup included Billy Joel. In 1973, producer Bob Ezrin, who produced Tim Curry's first album, hired Dick Wagner to play guitar on albums for Lou Reed and Alice Cooper. Over the next several years, he would play on records for Kiss, Aerosmith, Peter Gabriel, Hall & Oates, and many more. He also wrote several songs for Alice Cooper. Probably his best known would be Only Women Bleed, which has also been recorded by Tina Turner, Guns N' Roses, Etta James, and Tori Amos, just to name a few. Wagner also co-wrote the next song, Hide This Face, along with Tim Curry.
Hide this face! Hide This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
"Thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options."
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Up next is one of the album's two singles, "I Do the Rock." It's another Curry co-write, but this time along with the album's other producer, Michael Kamen. More on him in a bit. "I Do the Rock" would also have a music video that was shown theatrically for years before midnight screenings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. "I Do the Rock" would be Curry's biggest success in the U.S., peaking at number 91 on the Billboard Hot 100.
He did sit well, giving readings, 14 Bosco Road. Osbert giving champagne parties, Sashi's got it cold. Gertrude's hanging pictures, Alice making tea. Me, I do the only thing that still makes sense to me. I do the rock. I do the rock, rock. John and Yoko farming beef, raising frothing water. Sometimes
the press pack for Fearless featured the following quote from Curry. It reads, quote, "The point, for me, of making records and performing them live is to reach an audience directly and not to express myself through a character. I've always had scripts before, but now I'm blundering toward what I feel. The idea is to progress towards some kind of honesty." End quote. The album's two producers, Dick Wagner and Michael Kamen, both met Curry when they had played on his debut album, and they played in his live band for the tour that followed. As a producer, Kamen has worked with Pink Floyd, Ronnie Wood, Bryan Adams, Queensryche, and Sting, just to name a few. In 1999, Kamen was also the arranger and conductor for Metallica's S&M album that they recorded with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. He also worked as a film composer, providing the score for films like Brazil, Highlander, Lethal Weapon, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Die Hard, Pink Floyd's The Wall, and so many more.
SOS, I'm gonna do my best to get a message through to you. Make contact the way we always did before. SOS, I can't get no rest till I find the setting home to you through this storm.
Side one closes with a cover of Joni Mitchell's "Cold Blue Steel" and "Sweet Fire," the album's only cover song. It features a guitar solo from Bob Kulick, brother of former Kiss guitarist Bruce Kulick.
Cold blue steel, out of money. One eye on the beat, police. Sweet fire calling you. You can't deny me. Now you know what you need.
The album's other single kicks off side two, "Paradise Garage." It also had a music video, but this single failed to chart. Once again, Curry co-wrote alongside Dick Wagner, but this time they also wrote with the album's bassist, Bob Babbitt, and drummer Charles Collins. Collins played drums on albums for Lou Rawls, the OJs, and Elton John, among others. And Bob Babbitt was best known for his work as a member of Motown Records studio band The Funk Brothers from 1966 to 1972. He played bass on huge hits like Stevie Wonder's Sign, Sealed, Delivered, Tears of a Clown by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, Mercy, Mercy Me by Marvin Gaye, and Just My Imagination by The Temptations.
I went down to Paradise Garage, took my face in line. The cashier said, are you all right? I said, I'm feeling fine. I'm a stranger to Nirvana. I don't box outside my way. But when I stepped out of the taxi, I did not anticipate this.
Other notable musicians on the album include keyboardist Bette Sussman. Sussman's won multiple Daytime Emmy Awards for her music for the soap opera One Life to Live. And most famously, she played on Whitney Houston's cover of Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You for the Bodyguard soundtrack, selling over 17 million copies. There's also percussionist Jimmy Malin, who can also be heard playing percussion on Barry Manilow's Copacabana. And there's one other percussionist, Alan Schwartzberg, who you've heard on Peter Gabriel's Salisbury Hill. It also features alto saxophone from smooth jazzman David Sanborn. Yeah, I said jazzman.
Five alarm alert beats. This city never beats you, but it buries you so deep. And there ain't no on the street.
In the Fearless press pack, Curry would say of the album, quote, I wanted this record to be about America and money, to take cheap shots at expensive targets. I wanted to report how people have come to express themselves economically. I set out to be ironic and ended up rather serious, end quote.
I'm starting over one more time. Change of heart. I've crossed that line again. It took me all this time to see that what we've got is something short of paradise. A little bit less.
The album closes with Charge It, another Tim Curry and Dick Wagner co-write.
You say you won't accept my visa on American Express. And the computer is suspicious because I've got no fixed address. Lady, that's a valid document. Check out the way I'm dressed.
You know the way I'm feeling now. I think a lot of deck to test. Paradise law for a capital gain. Trading for a ticket on a great B train. I can amortize the cost with a minimum of fame. But I'm needed for a ride off. Can't take another night off. You know I never carry change.
Tim Curry would go on to release one more album after this, 1981's Simplicity. But Fearless would end up being his most successful album, peaking at number 53 on the Billboard 200. And perhaps some of the album's success was off of the success of the I Do The Rock single, a song which, 10 years later, would be performed on an episode of The Tracy Ullman Show alongside Tracy Ullman. And Tracy Ullman, an actress and comedian who had a big hit back in 1983 with her cover of They Don't Know from her album You Broke My Heart in 17 Places. But that is for another time. Thank you for listening to Bizarre Albums. If you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps people find the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Bizarre Albums, and I'm at Tony Thaxton. You can also like Bizarre Albums on Facebook and visit bizarrealbums.com. And if you still want more Bizarre Albums in your life, sign up for weekly bonus episodes of Bizarre Singles and more at patreon.com/bizarrealbums. And as always, if you know of a Bizarre Album you'd like to hear featured, please tweet the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can even email me at bizarrealbums@gmail.com. My name is Tony Thaxton, and I'll see you next time on Bizarre Albums.